Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Mara Sweeney is my special guest today. I think you're going to enjoy the things she has to say about how to make yourself happy when you're dealing with some of these hard issues that we have to deal with going through reintegration. Mara Sweeney is going to be my guest. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers and you're on The Journey of Hope. From you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Sweeney. She has a series of books called The Art of Happiness, and it's a series that deals with everything from our comfort zones to our values. Hey, Mara, how you doing?
I'm great, and thanks for having me on your show today.
Well, you're more than welcome. We're going to help some people, I promise you. Okay. First of all, one of the little traditions we have here on The Journey of Hope is we always start off by our guests telling us a little bit about themselves. Can you do that for us?
First of all, I want to let you know right from the get-go, I'm 58, and I've had a lot of experience behind me, so there's not enough time for that. I'd love to share with your listeners that even as a little child, I longed for a different world and a better life, even though I felt like this tiny little victim that couldn't do what I wanted to do. And here I am many years later, lots of experience later. And what I do today is it's like this lifetime vocation. I speak, I travel, I write, I blog, I have a course. But I basically go and share with others the very thought processes that help get me through life and help me live a different life other than the one that I felt like I was brought up under. And my mantra is living happy inside out, basically that the world we have or the life we experience is a function of the way we view ourselves from the inside, not the other way around. Most of us decide who we are based on what the world tells us. And I've had to spend a lifetime changing that whole paradigm around and saying, you know what? I'm going to grow up to be a happy person living a life that's authentic for me. And now at, you know, close to 60 years old, I'm sharing those kinds of messages and inspiration with other people, which really makes me happy.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that whole idea of thought life here in a second, but I've got a couple of questions first. And by the way, that's what first interested me when I read about you was this idea of how our thought life can influence our behaviors and so forth. But I want to ask you, can people be happy? I already know the answer, but I want you to explain it. Can people be happy despite their circumstances?
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Okay, first of all, I'll tell you, I only write about things I know, not about things I don't. There are people who look from the outside world like they've got all the money, they're driving the right cars, they live in the right house, they're around the right people, they're beautiful looking, and yet they live in a private jail cell. They're fearful of people, they question themselves, they're afraid of exposure. Basically, if we are happy people, it's because we've chosen to be. When we are free, it's because we've chosen to be. And if we keep waiting for the world to give us their nod to say we're good enough or we're acceptable enough, we'll always be looking at everything from the wrong vantage point. It's everything that takes place inside of our head that ultimately and over time ends up determining what our outside world is like.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, once again, I kind of already know the answer, but I want you to tell us a little bit about it. In your first book, you talk about comfort zones. How can we be happy coming out of our comfort zones? What is it about making ourselves uncomfortable that could make us happy?
Okay. Every one of us grows up in a comfort zone or finds ourselves ultimately in a comfort zone. And I would describe the comfort zone as a mental space. It could be a social space. It could be an economic space. But it's the space that we're used to. It's our world. And it's the way we think. It's the people we hang out with. It's the way we reason things. It's what we allow ourselves to do. It's how we view ourselves, plus how we don't. And sometimes, you know, let's say this, when we're all little or we all go through certain times in life, we start to see ourselves like our environment. We relate to the environment and we stop thinking about who are we beyond our environment? Is there more to me? Is there more that I'm interested in? Is there a bigger me that wants to come out? And most people are unaware of the fact that they build these little cells of incarceration around themselves, and they limit the way they see themselves. They limit what they think they could do with their lives. And they also limit, as a result, like they're the real person that they are on the inside. And a lot of times, over time, the mental space makes us feel like there is no outside space. And yet, when we choose to say, wait a minute, if I had to get rid of all these thoughts and I wanted to go within me and I wanted to find out, like, what's my inside GPS saying? Like, what things do I really like? What kinds of things do I want to explore? What do I envision myself doing? Or what did I think about when I was a really small person before maybe something happened to me in life to limit me? When we start connecting with that, Rodney, and when we start acting on it, we end up dealing with a lot of those. It's like knocking down walls that were in our head. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy, but the outgrowth of it is that we become bigger people. We learn more about ourselves. We overcome a lot of limitations that others maybe put upon us or that we put upon us. And then we feel a lot more empowered, a lot more satisfied, a lot more, I would say, joyful, again, from the inside out, because we're becoming our real self rather than one that we've been conditioned to become.
Okay. I really like the way you, and once again, we're going to get back to this whole idea of our thought life in just a second, but I wanted to mention that I really like the way you've got these books laid out with the separate topics and so forth. For example, you talk about how everyone is influential, no matter what, and that one jumped out at me as, you know, I guess I would have to read. I haven't read any of them, but I guess I have to read that one to figure out what it is you're talking about there. How can everyone, despite their circumstances, be an influential person?
You know, the world teaches us the opposite. Doesn't the world teach us, look at whose image is on the dollar bill, right? Or who's our teacher? Or who is our national leader? Or who is an expert in a field of science? Or who's a popular person in the media? We get so accustomed, even as little children, to looking at the so-called experts or the authorities or the elders. And because of all that training, we do give up the awareness that as much as other people can influence us, we are an influence to other people as well. And I do in every one of my books, they're all around topics that are universal for all of us. I went back in that book, and every question I will ask is the question to the reader. Do you realize you're a person of influence? Who are some of the people that influenced you in life? And if people go back and they look at some individuals that maybe nobody ever heard of because they never made it on TV or because they don't have a big name, and realize how one person's excellent word or gesture that was really kind or generosity made a difference in their life, they can start realizing how their life can influence somebody else's. You know, it's incredible how powerful we all are, but in our heads, if we think we're not, we're unaware, and therefore we don't even become that person of influence we can be.
There's that thought life again. Yeah, another one of your books is about judgment. I'm going to put a little twist on this one, okay?
Sure.
This one, I'm going to ask you, how do we deal with people that throw their judgment at us? How do we do that in such a way that it doesn't take away our joy?
Good question. And, you know, most of the time we think we're judging, but I wrote my book about being judged. And this happens every day, all the time. We will find a million and then a gazillion ways of judging other people. And then oftentimes we are also being judged. But in most cases, it's never good, because our judging someone based on either externals or an idea we have in our head or something old that happened ends up limiting everybody. At my experience, was I had a mother-in-law who for 40 years, since the day I met her, even before I met her, decided she didn't like me. Mm-hmm. And she decided she didn't like me because I wasn't born Polish. Now think about that. How do you overcome the fact that you're not born into a particular ethnic group? You can't do anything about it. And if we try and try and try to overcome someone else's thoughts of judgment about us because we want to please them, we're not going to be able to do it. But what we can do, ultimately, is to overlook their judgment and remember who we are. You know, there was a word that came to mind just before I picked up the phone to call you today, Rodney, and it was this: I am compelled by love. If I were to, like, reduce myself to one thing, I would say I am compelled by love. And so I have been around other people, as we all have, that judge us. They could judge us for our color. They could judge us for our cultural group, our religious orientation. You know, in the case of your audience, maybe the fact that some of us have been incarcerated or that we did something that was really embarrassing or just didn't look good. The irony, though, from what I've learned in life, is that almost everybody, if not everyone, has done something or several things in life they don't want to be caught for. And then you get people that end up maybe incarcerated, but the difference between them and everybody else is that they got caught, right?
Well, you'd be surprised who's in prison.
Oh, you know what? Yes, you're right as well. You're right. And so think about this. What I do, and this is the answer I would give to judgment, no matter where it comes from, no matter the source, even if it comes from us, if we live our lives compelled by love, if we could look beyond all of these mental thoughts we have, all of these judgments we have of other people, all these ways we put others down, and all the ways other people put us down, if we could look past those, it's sort of like looking beyond bars. Like, think about even jail cells, the bars. Instead of seeing the bars, you look beyond and you see the person. Sometimes you're looking at a person who is, they're afraid. They have been trained a certain way. They're not even aware of how they're acting or how they're judging. To be compelled by love is to say, you know what, I can see the way you're judging me, but I'm just going to love you anyway. I may not love what you're doing. I may not love the way you're treating me, but I see a value in you that is no different from the ultimate value that's in me. And it's from that standpoint that I am going to stand just like you, knowing my own value and recognizing yours as well. And that's the word I want to use, compelled by love. And for me, it's like a universal love. I give it out to everyone, and that's the way I live my life. Okay. And I think a lot of times people respond to that. I do. Even if they don't respond to it immediately, you've given them a moment of time and space where they're going to feel the energy of something different. And at some point in the future, I believe that there'll be a space in them to acknowledge it and even to receive that for themselves.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the mechanics, the physical mechanics of controlling our thought life. Let's say that we've got an ugly thought that keeps creeping into our mind, and I think we all know that our thoughts are the beginning of our outward behaviors. What kinds of things do you tell people to arrest those thoughts? Are there exercises people can do? Are there mental practices people can practice to help them keep those kinds of negative thoughts from entering into their mind and you know, ultimately acting on them?
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And, you know, think about this. You know, a lot of people will go out every day. They'll say, oh, I'm a really disciplined person because I'm a workaholic, or I love working out, so therefore working my muscles hard. What people don't realize is that we have a mind. And our mind also gets trained. And over time, if we don't take control of our mind, if we don't take control of our thought life, then our mind sort of, or our thoughts rule us. So as far as the exercise, I would say to be mindful every day. How do I feel? All right, how do I feel? And usually I think no matter where we are, we feel we can distill every uncomfortable issue or experience in our life to two things. We're going to say I'm a victim or I'm a beneficiary in this thing. A victim is somebody who always is getting attacked. They're at the mercy of everything and everybody. But a beneficiary is somebody that says, you know what? I see the world as a good place ultimately. The backdrop of it is good. I'm part of this cosmos. And because it's a beneficial cosmos, I expect to be a person that receives a benefit and gives a benefit in every situation. So that's the first thing. Am I seeing this as I'm a victim? If you do, you're going to get miserable and unhappy and disempowered and usually do things out of fear. Or am I going to choose to see myself as a beneficiary? And a lot of times to do that means you don't respond right away. You wait. And you wait until you have a response that's appropriate to that moment where everything is coming out of the right mental space and emotional space. But beyond that, I want to give you, it was an old Jewish proverb. It hit me years ago. And this is what it says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, a lot of times we think a certain way, and that way that we think becomes who we are. I want to give you an example. I grew up in a house, I used to call it the house of I can't. No matter what it was I wanted to do, I was always told I can't do it. There was always an excuse, there was always a reason, there was always a fear. And so, for me to become a person that said, I can, coming out of an environment that said, I can't, I had to choose over and over and over again to think differently. So we don't change our world and we don't change ourselves in a moment. Think about how long it takes for us to become the person we are. We're like the sum total of our thoughts. But if we, moment by moment, day by day, and let's say encounter by encounter or experience by experience, we choose as if we're working out the muscle in our brain, we end up developing ourselves into someone new. We have a new mindset, and then our emotions and our experiences end up following. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That word actually meant as somebody thinks constantly, continually, and in an ongoing manner, that's what they'll be. And so if we have been trained, or let's say by default, are one kind of a person, and we keep having these experiences in life, the only way to get out of it is to start thinking differently, think consciously, think in a proactive way where instead of like being the default personality that reacts to everything, you think, wait a minute, who am I? What is my orientation here? Where do I want to go? And how do I need to think about this? And to be consistent, it's almost like You know when a ship is traveling in a direction and it's got this tiny little rudder? I don't know if anybody ever studied ships. That little rudder is the choice we make continuously to angle ourselves in a certain pattern or toward a certain destination. And that's the only way we really get a chance to change our outward experience is by constantly retuning and paying attention to our minds and our intentions.
Okay. Okay, great. Good stuff, Maura. How do we get your books and find out more about you on the internet?
Okay, I'm very easy to find. I do have a podcast. It's my name, Maura Sweeney, Living Happy Inside Out, which I would love if your listeners follow. It's like 10-minute podcast where I ask a question, give information, help people to think differently. Otherwise, find me and even my books at my name, Maura, M-A-U-R-A, followed by number 4 and letter U, Maura4U.com, because whoever you are, I'm for you. And finally, Rodney, if there's somebody who would like a free copy of one of my books, have them write to me. It's Maura@MauraForYou.com, and I will be glad to send them a PDF of one of those books. They're easy to read, and they're all designed to help people kind of get control of their lives and live happy from the inside out.
Excellent. Maura, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today. The books are called The Art of Happiness. Maura's got some great ideas. I recommend you go check them out. Check out our podcast. Maura Sweeney, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on too, Rodney.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
With my back up against the wall, I stole those lyrics from walls.
Well, let me know how you're doing. Catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. If you've got an idea for a show, love to hear that too. Pass it on along. That's MathersRodney@yahoo.com. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Special guest today, Maura Sweeney, and remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.